Today, as we pick up the kind of last in our series looking at the Gospel of John, we have been looking at the kind of final moments of Jesus' life before he goes to the cross. And you may have just looked ahead a little bit and you see that the next kind of heading is Jesus arrested. He's about to head to the cross. But what we're looking at today is a really incredible part of the Bible, because it's the part of the Bible where Jesus prays for you. So if you're a believer, I mean, if you're just checking things out and you're here, we're so thankful for you. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, here we see how Jesus prays for us. And what is it that he prays? He prays that we would be united with other believers. So when Jesus looks down the centuries at us, those who would become believers, he prays that we would be one in our hearts and minds. Why don't I pray for us and we'll take a closer look. Dear Lord, we thank you for what your apostle, your disciple John has recorded for us here. The final part of your prayer before you gave your life as a sacrifice. And dear Lord, just as we think about this idea of being united, of being one together, maybe of failing so far in that, Father, we pray that you would help us to understand your word and help us to understand what you would have us know today from your word. Help us to follow you. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. I've just been doing a little bit of thinking about Avalon. I live in Palm Beach. I love this part of the Northern Beaches. It's a beautiful part of the world. And one of the great things about Avalon is its community. You ask anyone, you know, it's part of Sydney, still in the city, but it's a great community. That's why people move here. That's why people stay here for such a long time. What is a community? The word itself is common unity. There are things that we have in common, things that we value, things that we share, and they unite us. You'd have to say people in Avalon, they love outdoor stuff. Anything that's to do outdoors, they love it. Whether it's exercise or swimming or sailing or surfing, going for a jog. One of the things we have in common, we like the outdoor life. One of the other things is flexibility to kind of work from home. I was having lunch in Newport with a friend of mine, and we could just do that because we live here. And we met a husband and wife who work from home, and they came for lunch, which is lovely and romantic. And then I saw another husband and wife from church, and they came for lunch there as well. And I saw another family. This is Friday. And they came and they bought some takeaway to take home. There's something just kind of shared. You've done the city kind of thing. But we're here in the Northern Beaches. We can work from home. We've got flexible time. We're trying to get that balance right. You bump into people when you're in Avalon. There's that sense of community. It's pretty rare if you go shopping at Woolies and you don't bump into someone or you see someone out there. There's a community that's here that I love, and that I think is incredible. It's a really great strength of living here. There's a common unity, a community. The problem is, though, that unity can get broken by conflict. Can get ripped apart. You know, a division, it just... conflict causes division. I remember being... one of the jobs I did, the first day, I was walking along with one of the guys who was showing me around. I thought, this just seems like a great place to work. He said, everyone just seems to get along well with each other. And he just looked at me and said, it's your first day. Wait and see. It doesn't take too long before you realize this department doesn't get along with this department. This is the boss that everyone hates. And this, you know, it's, you just haven't been here long enough. It causes splits. It causes divisions. You even don't have to look around too much before you see that. It's actually some people just divide everyone. You can look around our world, but you can look around people that you know who don't like other races, other cultures, who don't like women. You look into the church itself and you can see division and conflict in the church. Okay, full of the believers that Jesus is talking about. The church I grew up in, a Baptist church in a little town, and there was a couple of families who thought the church was not spiritual enough, whatever that means. One of the couples, I mean, they have an incredible story. They've both been drug addicts living in the city. They'd found Christ, their life had turned, and they were on fire. But it became a conflict. They couldn't deal with it, these few families with these other families. And so the church split, all these bunch of families left, and they formed another church, and the only plot of land that they could find was three doors down. They built the church there. Oh, a bit uncomfortable. And that kind of conflict has consequences. We talk about and think about the conflict that you've experienced in your life. You may wish that you had fixed things up with your mom or dad, but they've passed away. It's too late. You may wish that things were better with a neighbor, but, you know, maybe you've taken them to court. They've taken you to court. Maybe it's just you ignore each other. You may have wished that you could have fixed something up in your marriage, but it ended in divorce. The consequences are really wide-ranging. They're a break in relationship, but they go on. When churches split, one of the consequences is it just looks bad. Or if there's a conflict amongst people who are believers, people respond in ways that are either you can run, you can pretend it doesn't exist, or you can pick a fight. All of those are bad. I mean, it happens if you have so much conflict at work, you think, I'd rather just leave my job. Or I'd rather just ignore that person. Move departments. You can do the same thing at a church. There's four churches in Avalon. You know, you can just go up and down the northern beaches. And you can run. If there's conflict, the division in a church, you can pretend it doesn't. Everything's fine. Just paper over it. Someone asks you, yeah, it's fine. And you can just either avoid the person or just keep them at a distance. Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine. Sometimes things become toxic, results in anger, just unresolved conflict that goes on and on. Sometimes it's expressed in gossip. It's a lack of love. That's what you can see. You can sense it. And one of the problems is really hard to resolve conflict. You can't just try harder. Maybe you have. Maybe you're someone, I've tried. I've done everything that I possibly can. I'm unable to fix it because one of the problems, and I feel this myself, is when there's a conflict, it just brings up for me every other conflict I've ever been part of. Whether it was at school, whether it's in my family, whether it was at work, whether it was, and I'm feeling that conflict. Stuff I haven't dealt with before. And now, with this other believer, the stakes are heightened. It's really, really... I'm a middle child. If you know about middle child, they're the negotiators. They want to compromise. They want relationships to work. They don't want to rock the boat. That's me. And it brings all kinds of emotion and issue to me. It's so hard to resolve it. But as a follower of Christ, we can sum up the whole Bible. We just read a small part. We can sum up all the teaching. And Jesus does this when he says it's summed up by love God and love your neighbor. You know what conflict and division does? Rips those two parts away. You can't love God and love your neighbor when you're in unresolved conflict or you're in anger or there's no love or there's no forgiveness or you're avoiding the person or you're pretending that the relationship's okay. The very heart of what it is to follow God, to be a believer, is not happening. It's not able to happen. In fact, the lack of love, which is at the heart of it, is so devastating. It's so devastating that actually it results in our death. Do you know, if you look at the whole story of the Bible, when God made Adam and Eve, and you track the lack of love that people have for God and for their neighbor, results in a huge issue. God calls it sin. He says that at the heart of it, that's what sin is. And it results in death. When you're in conflict with God, conflict with your neighbor, the author of love, the author of life, it results in death. Eternal death is how it's described. And the only way that conflict can get fixed, according to God, if you're in conflict with him, is to pay with your life. That's what it costs. And yet what we read here is Jesus' final prayer, and what he prays for believers is unity. You look at verse 20, he says, "My prayer is not for them." He's just prayed for his disciples, the 11 disciples. But he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So he's just finished praying for John and the like. And he says, I'm praying for those who will read what John has written down and will believe in me. What does he pray in 21? That all of them may be one. They may be united. But more than that, he says, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. What he prays for is that believers will be united together in the same way that Jesus is united to God. We spent time last week looking at the Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's perfect. He's one, but he's three. And he loves perfectly and he's in perfect relationship. You know, that's how we understand this Trinity. And he doesn't need anything outside of that. He's in perfect community. If you think about that, three in one who love each other, who love the other perfectly. And we are to love and be unified like Jesus is with God, like God is with Jesus. That sounds even more impossible. But we've got to understand that Jesus is the one who unites us. He doesn't just pray, I hope this happens. He unites us. What Jesus does, remember, he's just about to be arrested. He's going to go and be killed on the cross. But what he does is he has left that perfect community, three in one. He's come to earth. He stepped into the mess of our sin, of our pride, of our greed, of our selfishness. And when he dies in our place. It's his death which occurs in the place of our death. He takes the punishment for the conflict, for the division, for the selfishness. That means we're in conflict with our neighbor, in conflict with God. He takes that punishment in order then for us to be reconciled to God. So he leaves the perfect community, steps into the mess, and enables us to be part of God's perfect community. Right now, if you are a believer, you are united with Christ and you are connected and united with God. And that's the spiritual reality if you're someone who believes in him through his word. When you trust in his death. Now, I keep talking about this, but John wrote this as well. The Apostle John, chapter 3, verse 16. He made this promise. He described this reality. John 3, 16, you know, he said, God so loved the world. Okay, it was in a mess, but God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. He says, if you believe in me because of what's written down here, you won't perish. Okay, before that was your destiny, you would perish forever. But he's saying, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. What's that eternal life look like? It's being in the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being invited into that perfect relationship, invited into that perfect community forever. That's the promise. That's the reality. If you're not someone who is a believer, let me encourage you. Please later write some questions down. Come and talk to me. It really matters. I'm talking to believers, but I really want you to know that great promise from John 3:16. Incredible picture of being invited into relationship with God, who is perfect and loves perfectly. I want to say this. What you do with conflict matters. Conflict's going to happen. Whenever you gather people together, there will be conflict. But what you do matters. What you do with the conflict when it comes up matters. You can run. You can pretend it doesn't exist. You can just jump in and pick a fight. Or you could show God's love to the world. Maybe that's a bit surprising. You can show God's love to the world. At the end of 21, when he just said that, I want them to be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What is he saying? If these believers loved in the same way that Jesus and God love each other, it would be so obvious to the world that God has sent a Savior, that God has sent Jesus, that God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ and known that this Jesus was sent by God. They would know it when they see the love that Christians have, the love that believers have, is the same love that Jesus and the Father have. When they see that we reflect that love, it would matter. There would be something interesting. There's something of value when they see believers loving each other that way. There's something credible to the message of God coming into the mess of our world. In fact, we see God's power. That's where we see God's power, in how Christians love each other. The message that we have of the gospel is good news. God sent Jesus. He loved the world and he sent Jesus to reconcile the world to him, to deal with sin and to deal with death, and bring a people to himself, reconcile the world to himself that he loved. That is our message. It's an incredible message. And yet, it doesn't have any credibility if we don't love one another. If what people see is criticism and negativity and ongoing conflict and selfishness and a lack of forgiveness, a fighting and a lack of love, You can declare that message and you can preach that message, but it's like you're fighting with one hand because it doesn't look credible. It doesn't look real. It doesn't look like it matters because people can't live it out. You're fighting with one hand. Instead, if we knew this reality, God gives us unity. We don't have to create unity. He gives us unity. He makes us one through Jesus' death. We don't have to create it. And Jesus prays for it. So he creates us unified and he prays for it. Make them one continually. Make them one because we're going to get it wrong. Conflict's going to arise. But what we do with that conflict matters. If we step into it in love, if we put things on the table, if we're patient, if we're forgiving. I'm not talking about with unbelievers. You know, he's not praying for that. That can be a different circumstance. But amongst believers, when conflict arises, instead of division and fighting, we actually seek unity and forgiveness and just honesty. Putting it on the table, putting the truth on the table. If the community of Avalon saw the community of St. Mark's and just saw how people loved, just saw the quality of their relationships, men and women, young and mature, new members of church and those who have been here forever, rich and poor, the different races, people from Avalon and those from the Central Coast, you know, together, loving each other, forgiving each other. God says, the world may believe that you have sent me. Let me encourage you this week. Get involved in some conflict. I don't mean unresolved, toxic kind of conflict. I mean the thing that you've got to deal with. The thing that God's put on your heart. Where there's a brother and sister, there's a fellow believer. And you might have to forgive them. You might have to ask for forgiveness. You might just have to show love to them. You might have to initiate something with them. Let me encourage you to do that this week. Not to avoid it. It will happen, but what we do with conflict is what matters. The final thing I want to say is do this ongoingly, in an ongoing way. What we do here in our service, we have communion every week, every Sunday. What does the word communion mean? It's a common union. Okay, it's a meal that believers, if you're not a believer, don't come down the front and have it. I'd love to chat with you about it. But if you're a believer, we come down and we share the bread and the wine, which represents the body and the blood of Jesus, who died our death, who died for us to reconcile us to God. That's what we celebrate and that's what we remember. And we do it together because we're united together, as we are united with God through Christ. And each week we have the chance to do that. And each week we have a chance to just prepare our hearts and to say, am I united? Is there someone I need to speak with? Is someone I need to apologize? Is someone I need to show love who is a believer? Each week we have the opportunity to do that. And if the answer is not yes, and you know you need to do something about it, it's okay just to sit and to pray and not to share in the meal. If you're not unified, if you're not in unity, that's okay. But you've got the whole week to get it right with God's help. I want to encourage you to be thinking about that each week. What we do with conflict matters. And God is the one who creates unity. He's done it already. And Jesus is with us. And this is his final prayer for us. And I want you to be encouraged by that. I want you to be changed by that and to grow in that. Let me pray. Dear Father, we do thank you so much for the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our place, who took our sin and our death and dealt with it. Father, incredible message that we are reconciled to you. We are part of your perfect community, your perfect love. And dear Lord, we want to join with your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray this. We pray that all of us who are believers may be united. We pray that all of us may be one. Father, it's incredible to think how you and your Son are connected and united, and you've brought us into that. And Father, help us to live it out. Help us to be who we are. Give us strength and patience, and give us what we need to be able to follow you like that and to love like that. For your glory and your message being spread throughout Avalon and Palmy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.